Well, as the calendar turns to April, we are inching closer and closer to football season. We're still a long ways away, but we've still got a lot to talk about right here on the Three Technique.
One man. Goodbye. Hello, Heisman.
20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Well, welcome in, everybody, to the Three Technique, the college football podcast at the intersection of the X's and O's and the Jimmies and Joes. I'm Trey Reeves. I'm joined by Garrett Turney. And like I said off the top, we are 20 Saturdays away from college football. That feels like a long time. Maybe you're getting your fix with the UFL or whatever they're calling that merger league right now that's playing on ESPN on the weekends. Maybe you're a baseball person. Maybe you're gearing up for the solar eclipse that's coming through the Lone Star State and other parts of the country. Whatever you're doing to pass the time on this long off season, we thank you for making us a part of that off season journey. Garrett, this is kind of the hardest time of the year because spring football is upon us. We're scraping for storylines. We're sifting through the coach speak, but we're really just looking for that glorious day 20 Saturdays from now when we finally get to kick off again.
Yeah, it's the long haul of the offseason. We can't lie, right? But there's still stuff to talk about. There's still plenty to kind of break down and make sure that we're hanging out with. And so, we're just excited to hang out with you guys today and break everything down. We're talking some futures bets, and we're going to start to speculate a lot, right? This is prime talking season. And there's been plenty of talking going on in our comment section on some of our recent videos. So please feel free to go check some of those out. But otherwise, yeah, we're knocking it out tonight and talking about some stuff we expect to happen in those, very short, very few glorious 20 Saturdays left.
Garrett, I'm a little bit ashamed to say, but also not ashamed to say, I think our audience listening in April will totally understand this. I spent my lunch break yesterday watching a simulation of Texas A&M versus Notre Dame on NCAA 14 with next year's rosters, and I was locked into that thing by the end. It was a close game. Connor Wegman threw a go-ahead touchdown pass late. I'm hoping that's a good omen for this fall, but we'll see. That's how starved I am for actual football content. Just because it's the offseason doesn't mean that we are going anywhere. Keep it locked in. Make sure you're following on social media at 3TechPod on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe and like all the videos right here on YouTube, and make sure that you are clicking the bell so you get all those notifications when we're going when we're publishing videos, and also teasing this, maybe a live stream coming up relatively soon. That might be in the cards soon, especially with the NFL draft around the corner. So, Garrett, without further ado, let's thank our sponsors before we get too far into this. We are brought to you by our good friends at Home Field Apparel. March Madness is almost over. We got the Final Four this weekend. Maybe you're a fan of one of those schools that went to the men's or women's Final Four. Maybe you're hoping and holding out for that special championship gear for the teams that bring it home. Whatever you're into, whether it's NASCAR bomber jackets now with that Jeff Gordon collection that dropped a few weeks ago. Maybe you're getting ready for baseball season. Make sure you are gearing up with the best with Home Field Apparel. Use our code 3TechPod at checkout for 15% off your first order, or use our link on our Twitter bio to make sure that you are getting all that discount on your repeat orders. Garrett, like we said off the top, it is prime speculation season. I love that phrasing that you use there. And we're going to dive right into that. Tonight on the show, we've got some future bets picks. We've got some over-under win totals for you guys out of the ACC, out of the Big 12. And we're also going to highlight a breakout player out of the ACC and the Big 12 tonight. A couple of guys that are moving up from the G5 ranks to the Power 5 that if you're a college football diehard, you might already know, and you might say, guys, this guy broke out last year at his old school. It's old news. Well, not everybody watches those games as closely as we would like to. The Power Five steals the show a lot of times. So we're going to talk about a couple guys that are hopefully going to make a big name for themselves on the Power Five stage. But before we get into that, Garrett, I want to pause and I want to, as visits are heating up and as spring football is heating up, a lot of prospects for this next recruiting class, high school, current juniors will be seniors next year, are making their way to campuses across the country. We've got a lot of commitments rolling in. I just wanted to pause and take a look at right now. And obviously this is way too early. We are 9 months out from early signing day, let alone the traditional signing day. But I wanted to look at the 2025 high school football recruiting team rankings per 247. I'm looking at the composite standings here now. And Garrett, there's some surprising teams at the top of this list. And I don't know if it's lots of big programs and coaching transitions, obviously. Lots of new coaches trying to find their footing. But Notre Dame sits atop the list. Marcus Freeman already has 19 commits. They are kind of running away with the proverbial recruiting title right now. But again, really early. They did this a couple of years ago too, and were eventually caught by a couple of teams. Then you got Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Penn State rounding out the top five. Oklahoma, USC, Alabama, Auburn, and Texas Tech come in at 6 through 10. And then some really fun schools here at 11 through 15. We've got Tennessee at 11, Baylor at 12, Wisconsin at 13, UCF utilizing their Big 12 move, looking like they're making some moves and, you know, utilizing that to their advantage at 14, and Syracuse at number 15, taking full advantage of the new coach bump. Garrett, what stands out to you? I know it's really early. I can't say that enough. And this will not look like what the final recruiting rankings look like in December and February of next year. But what stands out to you off of that list? Who do you see as a major riser that maybe surprises you?
Man, I got to tell you what. Notre Dame at one is always kind of funny to me because it feels like they kind of fill up quick. They're at 19 total commits right now. The next closest that I can see on this list, at least in this kind of top group, is 11. And there's a couple of them at 11. There's, you know, the kind of next four or five are all like 11 and 10. But just having kind of sheer numbers is really helping Notre Dame right now. They're filling up pretty quick. Don't have a five-star currently in that 19 total commits. So, again, this kind of feels like last year's Texas Tech, who, by the way, Texas Tech back in this group with 10 commits, but, you know, a lot, you know, more kind of the lower-rated guys. So, a little bit of what we kind of expected to go on there. I really, really like seeing Baylor in that top group. Baylor kind of feels like they're trying to come back. It feels like they've been sort of in that almost relevant phase for a couple of years. I know that they went to the New Year's Six game a few years back and you know, didn't necessarily go very well after then. And then, you know, things haven't gone very well since then, at least. But no, it's just kind of nice to see them creeping up again. Nine commits there at number 12, couple of four stars there. They're going to have to turn it up if they want to stay in that top group. It's just kind of nice to see Baylor back in the competitive area again. You know, I think that they'll have a decent season with a guy we'll talk about a little bit later. But, you know, if they can have a decent season and kind of prove some resurgence, they got plenty of stuff in Waco. I think they can, figure out how to put that program back up in that top tier of a new Big 12 that's, you know, sans Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, they got a guy out of one of my high school's old district rivals, Adam Schovel, excuse me, out of Columbus, a big quarterback pickup for the Bears, four-star out of Columbus High School down here in Texas. We've seen them do it before. This is a big season for Dave Aranda, and we'll see if he makes it through another season like last year, if that's how it plays out. But definitely picking up some momentum on the recruiting trail. Fran Brown at Syracuse, man, he has hit the ground running. They had a huge recruiting weekend a couple weekends ago. And Elijah Robinson, the defensive coordinator, is certainly helping him out there. That's a Georgia and a Texas A&M former coach that are getting kids from the South to come up to Syracuse, yep. Newark. Now, it's thawed out a little bit up there. I don't know if they maybe spend their first winter up there next year and rethink things and enter that transfer portal. But right now, things are looking really fun for Syracuse under this new coaching staff. And I think it was time for some fresh blood up there. So good things happening for the Cuse. Maybe we'll get to keep asking our question if they're good. for years to come because of these recruiting classes. And look, maybe yeah, we lots don't of time. Have to,
right? Maybe we don't have to keep
adding. Maybe we don't have to
because maybe they'll actually start to be good. Who knows? I mean, it's optimistic, right? But you know, it's prime speculation season. That's what it is. Another team I wanted to shout out just a little bit. Number 17, not quite in that top group, but SMU right now. How about that? You know, utilizing their jump to the ACC. They're like, hey, we're finally in that power conference. We're coming back. You only thought you killed us with that death penalty. And it's taken us, you know, 30 years to get back to this point, but or 40 years or something. It's been a while, but it's taken them a little while to get back. But hey, they're here. They're starting to show back up again on the national stage. How about you, Ponies? Go you.
Man, you want to talk about a program that'll be dangerous in the NIL era? That the SMU Mustangs, baby. Proud season ticket holders over here, as always. Just renewed for another year. Moved across the field to kind of keep it in the budget, but we're going to be in the stadium once again.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited. They got a couple of really good home games this year. I think Florida State on the schedule this year. I'm pumped to see how that ends up going. So we will be there in attendance for SMU this year and get to kind of keep watching our guys go out there and compete. And so hopefully they have a good first year in the ACC and can keep this recruiting class, you know, rising up there, keep it in that top 20 or 30 or something like that. That could be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, like we said, a long ways till signing day, but just wanted to get that check in. We mentioned some programs. We mentioned some guys that obviously can't help their teams on the field this year. But Garrett, as we peek forward and we go headfirst into speculation season, we did this a few episodes back for the SEC, but we've got some best bets for the ACC and the Big 12. I'll let you decide where we start, which conference we start in. Obviously, a lot of newcomers in both these leagues. It's really difficult to sift through these schedules. But each of us has picked a team from both of these conferences to that if we had to put some money down today in early April, we're looking at a pretty confident win total.
Yeah. I want to start in the Big 12. That's where I really want to be right now because I got a take for the ACC that I'm not even sure I'm ready to make. So
ooh, I can't wait for you to defend that.
Well, I got to kind of brace myself before we get there. So I guess I'll start in the Big 12. Looking at a bunch of the win totals this year, the one that stood out to me as the most achievable, and I know if you've been listening to the podcast, you're probably going to go ahead and say, oh my gosh, this is so on brand. He's just yapping again. And you know, they're going to start to kick me out, but it's the Utah Utes. All right. Newcomers to the Big 12 this year, Utah shows up. And let me tell you, they didn't just get like a kind of nice hand from the conference. They got, a buttery smooth, super, super soft, easy to work through schedule this year. I want to talk about Utah for just a second, though, like in terms of what they're bringing back. Obviously, Kyle Whittingham, one of the best coaches, I think, currently in college football. We talked about some of the best coaches, so you can go back a couple episodes and see that as well. But man, last year, it just felt like they were a quarterback away from actually being a good football team. The quarterback play that they had last year coming out of Bryson Barnes and Nate Johnson was just not D1 quarterback play. It was bad. It was really, really bad. I mean, you can maybe get away with it at some of those low level, you know, G5 teams, but man, it was just bad quarterback play for the Utes. And this Utah defense, right, on the other side of the field, they came in as the 19th best scoring defense. And this is a Utah team that still found a way to scratch out 8 wins on the season out of nowhere. I have no idea how they got to that number. You know, I think there's big things ahead for Utah, especially considering, you know, Cam Rising coming back for his 76th year of college football and just coming back to play once again. But he's coming back. He's a veteran. He's plenty talented. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in that entire conference. And when he's on the field, he's going to be able to weather whatever storms they're having to face, right? If they have to go to, you know, a raucous environment like late in the season, he's going to be able to pull them through that and stay composed and keep them rolling. And so, you know, I think that Utah is going to be a really, really solid team this year, but you combine everything that they have with a really, really light schedule. I'm going to kind of read it out for a second. Southern Utah to start the year, Baylor, that's at home, Utah State. They go to Logan to play that one. And then it's at Oklahoma State. That's kind of the first place you could see them slip up. The one reason I think that they actually have a bit of an advantage there is they play a physical style of football, and Oklahoma State is driven by Ollie Gordon, and that's kind of it. And so if they can shut down Ollie Gordon, which I know there's a whole, you know, what do you mean shut down Ollie Gordon? He's a stud. But if you can find a way to just shut it out, manage it, right, keep it controlled, a modest game for him, then I think that they can walk out of Stillwater with a win. Arizona, that's in Salt Lake City. That's going to be a game as well with a lot of talent. But again, losing Jed Fish is going to hurt Arizona in that game. It'll still be early on in the season. That game's still in September, so maybe not everything has quite clicked for Arizona at that point. And then, I mean, find me a loss after this. It goes Arizona State, TCU, Houston, BYU, Colorado, Iowa State. Not a whole lot of chances to slip up there. And they do finish with a tricky game at UCF. But like I said, I think that you can count on Cam to kind of steer the ship there and keep them afloat. So I think a really physical, a really, really strong defense combined with a veteran guy back on the offensive side to kind of get them back out of their funk. I think you could see this team go, you know, almost undefeated next year, if not go ahead and sweep through the Big 12 in their first year.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic pick. They're the highest ranked team to in the Big 12 in the S&P Plus, and they only play three teams in the top 30 of the S&P Plus on their schedule. And two of those are at home. So they have Oklahoma State, they've got Arizona, and they've got Iowa State, and two of those three are at home, right? So
yeah.
I think this is a really favorable schedule for the Utes, and I think you're right there. I think they're the odds-on favorite to win the Big 12, and I think that is a really easy bet right now. You can get Utah to make the college football playoff plus 310 on FanDuel right
now. Wow.
That means you bet $100, you win, what, 310? So if my remembering of what that means is right, but – It's really good odds. It's over 3-1 odds to make the college football playoff, and they get an auto bid if they win the conference. So they can even have an oopsie as long as they win the conference championship game. They're in, and you win that bet.
I was going to say, even without, I still think they can get an at large with 12 teams. I mean, if you're, you know, 11-1, and you, or I guess you would be if you had lost it, maybe 11-2, but an appearance in the conference championship game, something like that, I still think you can find your way in with just those two losses and being a guy who was in the conference championship game, especially if you do it with some kind of really strong effort somewhere, right? Like if the quarterback plays really good, or if the, you know, if it's like just a strong defense the whole year and they're like, oh yeah, we got to reward great defense, right? Like you could see that either way. And I think that this is, I think it's a great spot for Utah. And I think this is going to be a fun year, number one, for Whittingham and his crew.
Man, I am traveling to some legal sports wagering states here in a few weeks, and I might need to lay a few dollars on that Utah.
Yeah, I might need to Venmo you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit me up on Twitter if you need a Venmo too. But Garrett, I'll staying in the Big 12, I will give you mine. I'm going to be a little more pessimistic, and I'm going to look at the TCU Horned Frogs. They have a 7.5 over under. Obviously, 2 years ago, made it all the way to the college football playoff championship game and got shellacked by Georgia. Then followed that up with a 5-7 campaign in 2023. They're sitting at a 7.5 over under, and I'm going to take the under for them yet again this year. I don't think they get to 8 wins. Their schedule is, you know, you highlighted the schedule for Utah as an easy one. TCU has a very tricky, tricky schedule. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, last year, a lot of things went wrong for the Horned Frogs. I think they took some transfers that they were hoping would help them out a little bit more. Those transfers maybe didn't pan out as much as they would hope. And obviously the quarterback play took a big step back from where Max Duggan had it in 2022. The defense just really struggled against any offense with a pulse to not give up a ton of points, right? So they give up 45 to Colorado in the opener, 41 to Kansas State. They give up 35 to Texas Tech, 69, not nice, to Oklahoma. So they were really struggling at times, and I just don't know that they've done enough in the portal or in their high school recruiting to plug those gaps on the defensive side of the ball. And the offense, if you're asking them to put up 40 points a game, with Max Duggan, that was possible with and Quentin Johnson, but I don't know that they have the guys on offense to consistently do that in a league that's becoming more and more able to defend those types of offenses. So I'm looking at their schedule. They've got two wins off the bat at Stanford and Long Island at home. I think they should easily handle both of those games. Mm-hmm. Then you get into a really tricky three games. UCF with KJ Jefferson. Y'all have heard me on this podcast talk about how I think KJ Jefferson and Gus Malzahn is going to be a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses this year. CCU just hasn't proven to me that that's going to be an easy game for them. Then you go at SMU and at Kansas back-to-back weeks. And if you want to talk about a couple of offenses that could cause a lot of problems, there's a real possibility. I don't think this will happen. There's a real possibility they're sitting at 2-3 after that Kansas game and heading into an absolute must win against Houston, or else you're talking about not making a bowl again for the second straight year. But, you know, they've got games on their schedule that I think you're penciling in, for me at least right now, at Kansas, at Utah, Oklahoma State, and Arizona. I think though it's safe to say that those four teams are objectively better than TCU. And so you're telling me that they then have to sweep the rest of their games. They can lose those four, but they have to sweep the rest of their games if they don't steal one of those four. That's just really difficult when you're talking about UCF at SMU, Texas Tech at home, a Baylor team that's going to be fighting for, you know, bowl eligibility potentially, a trip to Cincinnati that could be tricky at the end of the year. I just don't see 8 wins for this TCU Horned Frogs team this year on paper. Maybe that changes with what we hear in fall camp and what we get out of spring ball, but right now I'm just not betting on them to win 8 games this year.
Yeah, they feel like a real 6 or 7 to me, right, where they can make a bowl game, but it's kind of one of those kind of lower tier bowl games and, you know, maybe not quite as up for it. But the thing for me is I just don't think that they can keep up with the physicality of some of these other teams. I think that when you look at what TCU does defensively, it's really based on speed. There's a lot of stuff based on speed on their defense, and it's, you know, it's worked in the past. And, I mean, you can even go back to their extremely successful season. It worked against Michigan. The problem is what they did against Michigan got put on tape. Georgia showed you what happens when you adjust for it. And, you know, a lot of teams last year showed you what happens when you adjust for it. When you lose all that extra star talent from that team and then you don't replace it, that's where I start to wonder, like, okay, well, what are you doing in the portal? We thought they crushed it in the portal last year, and it just didn't come back together. And I'm not thinking they had as good of a class this year. I'm kind of looking around at some of the guys they're bringing in. They brought in some good players, but I don't see as many difference makers as I saw last year, at least guys that I thought would be difference makers last year. And so I'm not as optimistic that they're going to have massive success. I'm not as optimistic that they're going to have a vastly better team in a conference where I think there's too many teams taking steps forward and kind of raising the bar. I don't think they're doing quite enough. I don't think that they lose 7 games again. I think that would be a little bit dramatic. But, I think that they're probably about a 6 or 7 win team this year. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to hit their over either. So I think it's a good bet.
Yeah, they brought in Ken Seals from Vanderbilt. I think that's a depth piece at quarterback.
Yeah, and he's solid, but he's not a star, the game changer.
Yeah, and I think this is Josh Hoover's team, and he played quite a bit last year down the stretch as they realized that Chandler Morris wasn't maybe going to work out, and he put up some big numbers at times, and I think he took care of the football relatively well, but there were times that Max Duggan, what he was able to put together 2 years ago was just magical. And that combined with an opportunistic defense is what gave TCU what they needed to make that run, and a whole lot of luck. And I just think that they used about 10 seasons worth of luck in that 1 year to get all the way to where they did.
Yeah. And it's magic. And so it's worth it, right? It was a great
season. I would trade that for anything. For sure.
I would do that in a heartbeat, right? If you make it to the national championship game, even to get stomped, just the fact that you got to live that ride and do that whole thing. Yeah, I'll take missing a bowl game the next season. That makes sense. I don't think that they're going to get back to that level quite yet. Still think it's a good program. Still think it can grow the right direction, but they're going to have to do a lot more to show me before I believe it's going to be a tried and true staying power type of program.
All right, Garrett, let's move over to the ACC. Are you ready for your take, or do you need me to go first to give you some more time to warm up?
Oh, man, I guess, you know, we should just bite the bullet, right? We should all just right. go ahead and do this. All right, folks, look, here's the deal. We have been critical of this team on this podcast. We have also been, you know, complimentary where they deserve it, right? They have done some good things. We had a winners episode about them a couple weeks ago that you guys crushed and watched a lot. So appreciate you guys for that. Here is my bet. I am betting the over 9.5 wins for the Miami Hurricanes this season. Do I love it? No. Let me caveat. Do I think for a second that... Thank you. Yes, I love Mario Cristobal. He's my favorite person. I love it more if he'd learn how to kneel the football. And I'm still going to give him crap for that because he deserves it. But with that being said, I think when I look at Miami, here's kind of what I'm thinking. I think that this is a very good team that had some crucial flaws last year directly related to the quarterback position. Cam Ward is a very good quarterback that they're bringing in, and they're going to have talent around him. They bring back Restrepo. He's absolutely an alpha number one receiver. He can do that. And if you watch their games last year, you know he's an alpha and he can do what he needs to do. Also, I mean, there's just no way that they haven't practiced some of those in-game situations. I'm going to give him crap for it, right? But there's no way they haven't practiced the kneel down. They're going to kneel it down. They're not going to give away wins in the same manner that they
You
did,
would
right?
hope so, but the same thing happened at Oregon. And, like,
Well, maybe they do it next year. I don't know. This, yeah. It's got to be something, I guess. But I think the thing is, there's a lot of excitement, I think, in Miami right now. Maybe not nationally, but I think there's a lot of excitement around Miami right now. And I think the players in the locker room are really, really bought into what they can do. They're losing some pieces on defense. There's some key pieces, but they're bringing back a lot too. Like they're losing some stars on that top end. But after that, they don't really lose that much from the defense. And so I think that this is going to be a really solid squad. And even if they need a little bit of time to warm up, they have one of the softer opens I think I've ever seen. They start at Florida. Now, listen, that is a rivalry game. That is a game that'll matter a lot to both teams. Florida and the Swamp, we get it. Come on. This is not a good Florida football team. This is not a good Florida football team. Miami is the better team, and they should win that game at Florida, right? Anything can happen, and, you know, a better Utah team than Florida went in there, you know, a couple years ago and lost. So, look, it happens. But I still think that they're going to end up winning that game and getting a nice boost from it, right? They get to come out, get the boost, get a little bit of the hype behind them, and then they get to go on a tear for a little bit. Florida A&M, Ball State, at USF, Virginia Tech, and Cal before they hit the bye week. I think that's just a chance to rack up stats and feel really good, right? Get in a rhythm, learn what works about your offense, everyone get their role pieces put together and know where you're going, and then let's rock and roll for the last part of the schedule. There is a tricky bit in October. They go at Louisville, and then they play Florida State at home. That's a tricky two-game stretch. If they can steal one of those, this feels like a for sure smash the over. Even if they lose both of those, find me the loss in the back part of the schedule. Duke, at Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. I'm having trouble. I like Georgia Tech as much as, you know, the next guy who, you know, isn't here right now. Sorry, Mitch. This year is going to be a little bit rough for the Jackets. I don't think they're going to have the same kind of magic they had last year. And I'm not seeing it down the stretch. I think the only two games they're in any real danger of losing would be Louisville and Florida State. And I don't think that they're going to have much problem with the schedule otherwise. So, man, Miami getting to 10 wins feels like it has to happen. And dare I say it, but if they win just one of those games against Louisville or Florida State, this could be a playoff-bound Miami Hurricane squad with one loss in the regular season. I don't think it'll happen. I think somehow they're going to find a way to go 8-4 because they just have to. But I don't see the losses on the schedule. They'd have to do some epic meltdown type of stuff to end up losing, you know, more than I think 2 or 3 max.
Man, it's hard for me to say that it's hard for me to bet on Miami to win 10. If you lowered that to 8.5, that's just that mental hurdle for me would be gone with them winning 10 games. The fact of the matter is that's happened one time since they won their last national championship in 2003. So, or in 2002. So it's just really bucking the trend of history. I think if they win 10 games, they're definitely in the ACC championship game. And depending on who those two losses are to, if they're in conference, maybe not. But it could happen. It could certainly happen. Cam Ward, I was mentioning you this off camera. I was in on Cam Ward 2 years in a row at Washington State because of what he did at Incarnate Word. And for him, it has to be, can you play better when you have a talent advantage? Because when he was in Incarnate Word, he was on a team that was better than a lot of the teams around him. When he was at Washington State, he was not. And we saw the talent drop off a little bit. Now he's going to be back in Miami. The talent is not a problem there. Can he get that team to rise to the occasion and beat less talented teams? That's been a problem at Miami. Maybe Cam Ward is the solution to that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and they need better quarterback play. We saw what they were doing with Tyler Van Dyke when he was good a couple years ago. I mean, they were lighting up scoreboards. And so with better quarterback play, I think they have it in them. And I think there is something about the kind of Miami sort of swagger that goes along with it and sort of the bad boy mentality and everybody else where they can take the hate. And they're like, yeah, come on, bring on the haters. Like, we want that. And I think when you get a guy like Cam Ward there and he starts to perform and starts to light up some scoreboards, I think it's going to get into some teams' heads. This would be my big, like, circle it if I'm Florida State game. Because Florida State having to go into that stadium against a possibly one loss, you know, two losses at the most, but probably just one loss team in Miami, that's going to get all the hype. I can't imagine game day won't find a way to be there. And man, like it's going to be a rocking crowd in Miami. And I think that that's going to be one that if you're Florida State, you got to circle it and be a little bit nervous because this is going to be a very good Miami team that you're going into play. So look, do we feel comfortable betting on Miami? Not really. But the thing is, like, these are best bets. These aren't good bets necessarily. I think the ACC is so hard to predict year in and year out, and with so much turnover and with so many people coming in and going out, they had a lot of transfers out of this conference. I just really don't know what to expect from a lot of this conference. I just didn't see the same hemorrhaging at Miami that I did from a lot of other places. And so I'm thinking that Miami has one of the better shots. You know, Florida State obviously I think is the obvious yes right now in the conference. They're going to be, you know, the team to beat. And if Clemson can keep putting it together, they'll still be there. But like, if you look at their schedule for Miami, they miss Clemson, they miss North Carolina, they miss NC State. They're missing a lot of really good ACC teams. They'll miss SMU, who could, you know, definitely go in there and knock them off if they have a good game. So like, they don't really have any of the tough teams on the schedule this year. They got just about as good of a schedule as you could want from an ACC team.
They play one team ranked higher than them in the S&P Plus in the preseason. So we'll see, man. The schedule and the talent has never been a problem for Miami before. We'll see if they can put it all together this year. My ACC best bet, I wish Mitch was here to share this with me. I'm taking his Virginia Tech Hokies and Brent Pry. Maybe I'm just hyped up on the Kool-Aid of the Pate State Tour because he was there last week, but I really do think they have a lot going for them at Virginia Tech and in Blacksburg. Listen, Kyren Jones, I disparaged him a bit on this show last year, the Baylor transfer, but he came on well at the end of the year. That bowl game was really impressive. He didn't throw for a lot of yards, but he ran for almost 190 yards against a really good Tulane defense. They've got a really special dual threat quarterback in Kyren Jones. And I think now, is he going to have Virginia Tech competing for the college football playoff this year? I don't think so, but I think the schedule sets up for them. Their over-under is 7.5, and I think they can get to 8 wins. So they have 4 really tricky games on this schedule that could go either way. At Miami, Georgia Tech at home, at Syracuse, and Duke at home. I think all 4 of those games could go either way. They have Clemson at home as well. I'm going to pencil that one in as a loss. But if you're telling me that they can, you know, just win the ones you're supposed to, right? Beat Vanderbilt opening week. Don't lose to a G5 team on the road like you've made a habit of doing the last few years when you go to Old Dominion week three. Don't do that. Take care of Stanford when you go out to the West Coast and play a three time zone difference game on your body clock. Figure that one out. If you just win the ones you're supposed to, where you are the more talented team, take care of business, lose to Clemson. That I think that's a given.
Sure.
You just take care of business in your you know, seven or so games that you should be the favorite team. And just give me one. Just give me one of Miami, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Duke. Just give me one of those. And we got eight wins. And we're cashing this over check. Like I said, I think Brent Pry, rough start to the tenure. I don't think Justin Fuente did him a lot of favors with what he left in Blacksburg. And he's coming in as a first-time head coach. So a lot of a learning curve. But I was really impressed with listening to him and listening to his vision of the program as he kind of got a spotlight shined on him. And I do think he has a really solid building block in Kyron Jones. Remember last year when we were trying to rank the ACC quarterbacks, like around this time last year, how difficult that was?
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle McCord came in at Syracuse, but is it really going to be that much easier to rank the quarterbacks this year in the ACC? Why can't Kyron Jones be a top five quarterback in the ACC? Why not? Give me over 7.5 for the Virginia Tech Hokies this year.
Yeah, I mean, he sure could be, and I think he probably should end up being a top five quarterback there. I like this team, and they're a little sneaky. I think that this could be a sneaky team this year. I will say, I think Rutgers at home should be a little bit of a opportunity to stumble, especially because it's a look ahead to Miami, so this could be a spot where they could drop. But I think they're better than Rutgers and should win that game. But yeah, I mean, it's a great schedule for them. They just got to find one of those games. Not necessarily very high on Syracuse right now, not very high on Duke either. I don't think that Duke is going to be nearly as good now that Elko has left for Texas A&M. So, yeah, I think that this is going to be a pretty fun season for Virginia Tech. Hopefully they can get back up and win a bunch of games and, you know, get a little bit of excitement going back around that program, because I feel like it's a lot more fun when Virginia Tech's good at football. I like football more when Virginia Tech's good and relevant and is one of those teams you don't just pencil in for the win every single week, but you got to go, ooh, look at that, better circle that game. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun.
They have a national championship contender ceiling as a program. Not 20 years ago. Not 20 years ago. They were competing for national championships every single year under Frank Beamer. So,
yep.
Would love to see them get back in that direction. I think they take a step in that way this year. All right. So those are the teams that we feel like we kind of have a beat on. Let's zoom in a little bit. Let's talk about a couple players, Garrett, that are moving from the G5 level. We've got one ACC player. We've got one Big 12 player, kind of keeping the theme with those two conferences. But these two guys moved up from the G5 level, and they were studs at their respective schools last year. Their whole careers so far have been really, really solid at the G5 level. But as we all know, a lot of those guys fly under the radar because they're not at Power 5 schools. Well, now they're getting their shot. They've transferred to Power 5 schools. They're going to get their shot to display their talents for everybody to see. Garrett, who do you want to start with on our first two breakout candidates for 2024?
I'm going to start with a guy who I'm probably going to see in person this year, because I'm going to have to find my way down to Waco to my wife's alma mater to see, and let me introduce again, these aren't guys that we think are, you know, going to be breakout guys, because to us they've already broken out. We've been paying attention, right? We've been watching them at the G5 level, but these are guys who we're excited to introduce to you. So let me introduce you to my friend Daquan Finn. This is a guy who I think is going to have a lot of fun in Waco for the Baylor Bears. This guy is an absolute baller. He had a fantastic career at Toledo, and I know a lot of them are super sad to watch him go. I think they were really excited to watch them try to run it back. They came up just short of the MAC championship this year. Ended up losing that one to Miami, Ohio. Very good Miami, Ohio defense, by the way, who really, really tested them too. But, man, Daquan Finn is just a baller, kind of a do-it-all guy. There were times that he puts Toledo's offense on his back and just says, give me the ball, I'm going to make it happen. He left Toledo after, I think, 5 years of playing, really 2 or 3 years of being the main guy. 60% completions, over 7,000 passing yards, over 1,800 rushing yards, and 88 total touchdowns. Dude produces. That's all that it is. I don't care who you are, how long you've been there, nearly 100 touchdowns. He'll push that number over the top with Baylor. He's going to pass 100 total touchdowns with the Baylor Bears, and he's probably going to do it, you know, before they really get into the meat of conference play. So I'm excited to watch him do this. I'm excited to watch what he can accomplish with the Baylor Bears. Real dual threat guy, can really create, does a lot of good things with his feet, extending the play. He's not just a run first quarterback, though. Right, a lot of times you say he's a dual threat guy and he's going to look to run. He's like a one read and take off. Not him. No, he makes stuff happen. He does know when to run. He has a good feel for kind of when to just tuck it and take off, but can keep his eyes down the field and find the guys down there. And I think at Baylor, they have some good playmakers. They've just been stifled by some really poor quarterback play the last couple of years. And it sucks to say, but, you know, again, Baylor is just kind of a team that, like, if they had a good quarterback, they could be a lot better. And I know that that applies to a lot of people, right? A lot of people are a quarterback away and, you know, all that. But man, Baylor, like, there's just no excuse for them to continue to be bad. They've got great facilities. They have a fan base who really cares and is passionate. And I think that this is a team that can be really, really good. You tell me that you can get a veteran quarterback who can bring a spark to this Baylor Bears offense and create for some of those other guys, I'm going to tell you Baylor's going to be a lot better. And I'm going to put him at a bowl game with Daquan Finn at the helm.
Wow. Okay, so big jump coming for the Bears this year, according to Garrett. Listen, Dave Aranda is putting all of his eggs in the Daquan Finn basket, right? And we've seen him make a mistake at the quarterback position before, but I think he's going out and getting a proven guy this time. And it better work out for him. That's all I'll say. Dave Aranda is on pretty thin ice at Baylor. I think this is his last chance to get back to his winning ways. And if he doesn't make a bowl game at the very least this year, I don't think he's going to be the coach of the Bears in 2025. So he has to succeed. And I think for Daquan Finn, this is a great opportunity. He wasn't going to get an NFL shot coming out of Toledo, but if he can show it in a Power 5 schedule, maybe lead Baylor to 7, 8, 9 wins this year. And there's going to be a lot of NFL GMs that are really excited to take a flyer on him next year and give him a shot. So you mentioned he's not just a, you know, run first quarterback. The dude's thrown for 7,000 yards in his career and has been crazy accurate doing that as well. Yep. So 63.4% completion last year. You'll take that every day of the week, especially with that quarterback play that you referenced at Baylor in years past. So, yeah, I think he's an exciting prospect, man. I think that, you know, as you rank the Big 12 quarterbacks, as we do that in the next, over the next couple months, just projecting forward, it'll be really interesting to see where he falls.
Yeah. And I think that, again, there's going to be some teams that you're just not going to beat, I think, if you're Baylor. I think there's some teams that are just pretty big leaps ahead of you. But I do think that Daquan Finn has an ability to win you a couple of games that maybe your team doesn't deserve to win, but he's going to do it. He's just going to find a way to bring you over the top. A couple of those games that you could circle, they play at Colorado. I think that's a really winnable game with Daquan Finn at the helm. BYU, obviously, I think is a good one. At Texas Tech, Butt Bowl in Lubbock this year, I think that Daquan Finn could go in there and put on a bit of a show. TCU at home, we just talked about them. Like, they could beat TCU for sure. Houston, like, there's some games on the schedule that I think are really winnable for them, and I think that, you know, Daquan Finn can take them over the top with the way that he plays and with the talent that he has.
Yeah, it's certainly possible that he takes that Baylor offense to the next level. Another guy that's going to take his team's offense to the next level is Colin Lacey, the South Alabama transfer heading to Louisville. Look at Jeff Brohm getting yet another plug-and-play wide receiver from the G5. Just, man, like, what can you say about his ability to find those guys? And with Colin Lacey, you're getting a guy that's played in the Sun Belt, a very fun, fast-paced league that's very high-flying offense. He was on a South Alabama team last year that, you know, I think a lot of people projected to be better, especially after they beat Oklahoma State early in the season. And then they kind of fell off towards the end there. But Colin Lacey was not the reason before them falling off. So he played in all of the regular season games last year. And he was over 100 yards in 8 of those 12 games. Like that's just insane. He had 94 in another one to get really, really close to another century mark. A fantastic performance last year. Over 2,500 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns for his career. He's a slot guy, so he's going to be really dangerous in this offense for Jeff Brohm. And he's just churning out playmakers at Louisville, man. Like, it was a really exciting first year, and he's just running it back with what he had the past year. I think this can't fail for me. I think it's just a plug-and-play, ready-to-go elite receiver to tear up the ACC.
For sure. And Colin Lacy is dangerous with the ball in his hands. You get the ball in his hands, he just makes stuff happen. He's one of those guys that you go in the locker room and everyone just knows, like, yeah, he's that dude. He'll back it up. He's the guy that every time you get him in practice, he's going to, you know, make you work for it. And when you get him on the field, he gets the ball in his hands. You think, like, oh, a little sweep the legs or a little bit of a, you know, push him or hit him. That's not going to bring him down in a lot of cases. He's a tough physical guy, good balance, stays on his feet really well. But man, he's quick. He's got some good breakaway speed. And he's a guy that, you know, he gets the ball in his hands, look out, he's going to make stuff happen. And so I think he's going to be a guy that you can, like you said, just a plug-and-play guy for Louisville. And I love the fit here. I think the thing with Louisville last year, obviously fantastic first year. You make your conference championship game. You're never going to be upset about that. But, man, I feel like the offense was a little on the run-heavy side, and they didn't necessarily have the explosiveness in the passing game I think a lot of Louisville fans were wanting to have. And so I think that this is going to be a way to kind of open that up and give you another option out wide, to kind of give you some ability to pass the football a little bit, keep your offense a little bit more balanced. And I think if he can come out here, have another, you know, close to 1,000, maybe 1,000-yard season with Louisville, I think that good things are happening for the Cardinals. And I think this is a great fit. I think this is an awesome choice for Lacy. And I think that this is going to end up working out really, really well long-term for the Cardinals.
And how did he do it again, man? Like, he gets Jamari Thrash last year from Georgia State. He gets Lacy this year. Mm-hmm. Jamari Thrash ended up with like over 800 yards, a bunch of touchdowns, ran a 4.46 at the NFL Combine. Yep. Lacy's going to push that. He's a burner. And they almost look identical out there too. Right. I think Thrash is a little bit taller and Lacy's a little bit stockier, but really similar players that are just going to be plug and play in this offense.
Well, and if you have a talented wide receiver and you are a coach for a Sun Belt team, you need to get on the phone with anybody who can offer NIL to make sure he can stick with your squad, because Louisville's coming for your guys. Louisville's going to come and take your wide receivers. They're going to snatch them up. You know, they're climbing in your windows, snatching up your wide receivers, hide your playmakers, right? It's going to be rough for all of these teams, because, yeah, Louisville's going to come in and they're going to take who they want to right now. They've got a lot of momentum, a lot of positive energy in that program right now, and I love what they have going on right now. And so, look, it took me a little while to go back to my scorn lover Louisville here, but I think that they're going to do some good things. And man, I'm excited to see what Louisville can do in this upcoming season, see if they can get back into that ACC championship game.
And they've got 17th year senior Tyler Shuck slinging it around. So we'll see if he can finally stay healthy. If he can, man, watch out. They're going to be right there
competing
for that ACC title again. Well, Garrett, great episode. A lot of fun looking forward to this next year. I'm really looking forward to shifting to preview season very soon. But before that, we've got the NFL draft. We got spring football. All kinds of fun things to talk about. So make sure you are locked in here on the channel, liking and subscribing, all that good stuff. And for Garrett Turney, for Mitch Mason, who cannot be here with us tonight, I'm Trey Reeves, and we will see you next time.
Gracious. Yep. How about